Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This afternoon, we are meditating on the theme, A Hopeful Death. And immediately when we hear a title such as this, we must ask, how is it that death and hope can be mentioned in the same line? Because when we think of death, we think of grief, we think of sorrow, we think of pain, we think of loss. We will not think of death as something that is hopeful. So how is it that death can be something that is regarded as hopeful? Now for Christians, we know that death is hopeful because death is not the final destination and the final place where believers will end up in. Death is not where finally this is the end of our lives and the end of who we are, and after that, there is no more. This is not the death for the believer. And that is why death, even though it brings about temporary grief and pain, it does not bring about lasting sorrow. For death ushers us into the presence of God. And so for the believer, when we think of death, we always think of it as something that is hopeful. But are you really that hopeful about death? That when death really stares you in the face, whether it be your soon impending death, or whether it be the death of a loved one, can you really express that kind of confidence, that kind of hope, that kind of faith, even when coming face to face with death? I believe that maybe in such a setting like this, for us as children of God, when we think of this theme of death, yes, maybe we can say that death is a hopeful death. But when we are really confronted with death, can we really now still regard death as something that is hopeful? And by the way, when I say hopeful and the title, when it says hopeful, we are not talking about, you know, just merely a wishful thinking. It's literally full of hope. That we would have full of hope and assurance and confidence even when coming face to face with death. Now, what we have read here is the death of Jacob. So in the preceding chapter, in chapter 49, as Jacob knew that he was soon going to die, he blessed his sons. Now that we have already seen was a great expression of faith, because the blessings that he pronounced were not essentially physical, material blessings. Yes, there are physical and material aspects to it, but they were spiritual in nature, because Israel was a spiritual people. And there were even blessings that concerned the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, even unto the millennium, to restore his kingdom. And this was the kind of faith that Jacob had, taking hold of the promise given to Abraham, to Isaac, and given to Jacob. And he, understanding that promise, was able to pronounce this blessing by faith, even for the nation of Israel. But will the sons of Jacob, will future generations continue to have that faith and have that hope? And this is what we want to consider this afternoon in Genesis chapter 50. Now death has met them. Jacob died, and now Joseph had to deal with the death of Jacob. How would Joseph respond? How would the sons of Jacob respond to this death that now they are faced with? Now the first thing that you notice over here, from verses 1 to 4, is that they mourn and they grieve. And this is the reality of death that we need to recognize, that there is a grieving, that there is a mourning in death. As we will see later on, I believe that Joseph was exercising faith. It was not because of the lack of faith that brought about that grief. So we must not be too harsh to conclude that by grieving, Joseph did not have faith. Right, because later, based on the rest of the descriptions, we see by bringing his father back to the land of Canaan, It was an expression of faith. They have not yet received the promise based on, you know, what we have memorized in the book of Hebrews. They have not received the fulfillment of the promise in being given the promised land, in being given the full boundary of the promised land. Yet by faith, Joseph brought his father back. And the father also by faith already told Joseph, bring me back to the land of Canaan. I want to be buried there because this is the land that God has given to us. And we will see that Joseph will bring his father back. So the act of mourning and the act of grieving is not an expression of the lack of faith. But this is what we need to first see with regard to death. That there is a grief that death brings. That there is a mourning that death brings. Now the Bible here describes the details of the mourning for us. First, that he was embalmed. Right? So the physicians embalmed Jacob. And this would be a way of burying important people in Egypt. It's not everyone who can be given special kind of embalmment. Now, a common person also may be embalmed, but here this is a special kind because the Bible tells us that it was 40 days. Right? 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those who are embalmed. Right? So this was a special kind of embalming, designed and intended to preserve the bodies of especially the pharaohs for as long as possible. And that's why you have heard of the mummies, right, of Egypt. And the mummies are basically this embalming process that they would try to preserve the bodies of these pharaohs for as long as possible. And the length of the days that would be taken in the fulfilling of this embalming process will speak of how important the person is. So 40 days is relatively long. That means Jacob was given a special burial, okay? Not the burial of a common person. At the same time, the Bible also tells us that he was mourned for 70 days. According to some commentators also, the length of the mourning also speaks of how important the person is, right? The pharaoh would be the longest. Okay? The pharaoh, the length, the days of the mourning, certain historians have recorded different days. There are some who say that they can be mourned for up to 90 days. And there are those who say that they can be mourned even for up to several months. So there's this whole mourning process. Recently, someone shared of how in a neighborhood, there was actually a very big funeral that is held that lasted for nearly more than a week. Why would a person hold such a funeral for so long? Usually, most of the time, it would be someone who is regarded as important, right? Because he's very important. They want to have many visitors or friends or relatives, you know, to come for them. This was an unbelieving funeral that this wake that this person saw. So for them, they would see it as a form of paying their respects. So they need to have this big funeral, and they say that the funeral was so big that it was in the HDB area, but they had the whole basketball court and also part of the void deck, and then they have all the lanterns and the lights that surrounded, going even all the way to the multi-story car park. It was like a huge fence around this wake for this person who died. Why would a person have such a grand funeral? Because most likely he's someone who is important, possibly someone who is rich, and then there would be relatives and friends who will come and pay their respects for them. Right? For us, we don't believe in paying our respects to the dead, but for the unbelievers, they will say, pay their respects to this person who has died. And that lasted for just about a week. It is really relatively long by Singaporean standard. For most of us, I think that usually a funeral or vigil service or a wake would last 2 or 3 days. And usually not a week. But here, this is a mourning that was for 70 days. Now, if a person is very important, it may be even for 90 days or even for several months. But this is 70 days. It's long. Already even in comparison to the common people. So Jacob here was given a special funeral. Now this is going to be important, as we are going to see later on, an important detail that the Bible recorded the kind of death and the kind of burial that was offered to Jacob. But what we do see is Joseph mourning. Okay? Joseph mourning, and later on also that the people will mourn. You can see that in verse 10. There was a great and a sore lamentation and made a mourning for his father 7 days. Joseph mourned. The sons of Jacob mourned. And this shows us the reality of death, that death brings about grief. Death brings about sorrow. Why? Because it reminds us in the first place of what caused death. What caused death in the very first place? It's very interesting that in the book of Genesis, as we come to the end of the book of Genesis, we see the death of Jacob. And it reminds us that at the very beginning of the book of Genesis, we see the origin of death. In the book of Genesis, as the name of the book tells us, is a book of origin. It's the origin of the world, it's the origin of creation, origin of life. Where did man come from? God created all things out of nothing, and God created man out of the dust of the earth. That's the origin. But the Bible also tells us in the book of Genesis, the origin of death, and the origin of sin in this world. How did death come about? It is because of man's sin. And because of Adam's sin, death reigned and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And when we read now this passage and we see the mourning and when we see the grief, it reminds us of this reality, the reality of sin. How the curse of sin is very real. How the curse of sin plagues the whole world. And how in a person's death, we see the true power of sin. It is because of sin that there is death. And naturally, when we experience death, we grieve. When we experience death, we experience the parting. We experience the loss. We are no longer able to see this person, talk to this person, interact with this person, go out with this person anymore. All that we are left with are the memories that we have of this person. Death brings about grief and sorrow. And Joseph over here, with the sons, also grieve. That's very natural for all of us. Whenever we are confronted with death, why do we grieve? You need to know. Why do you sorrow? Yes, there's the hurt, there's the pain, there's the loss, but it reminds us of the reality of sin. But this immediately brings us to the second truth. That this is a sorrow that is not without hope. This is a grief that is not permanent. There's this temporary parting that we feel that brings about that grief. And it, yes, that's in the recognizing of the reality of sin that brings about death. We see what sin has done. We see what sin has brought. But even in this death, it is a hopeful one. Because sin has been conquered, and that parting is just but temporary. And this is what we see now from verse 5 to verse 10. Okay, in fact, the second part of verse 4, the Bible also tells us, so the days of the mourning were past, that means the days of mourning were over after 70 days. Then Joseph spoke to the house of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying. Okay, so he spoke to the house of Pharaoh, that means they are representatives of Pharaoh, and he requested an audience for Pharaoh, and he requested the message to be brought to Pharaoh. And the message was this. Okay, so from verse 5, the Bible says, my father made me swear, saying, lo, I die in my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan. There shalt thou bury me. Now, earlier I mentioned the details of the kind of death, the kind of funeral procession that was offered to Jacob. It was not an ordinary kind. The days of mourning, the kind of embalmment that was offered to Jacob. Probably because Jacob was Joseph's father, and remember that Joseph at that time in Egypt was an important person. So the kind of burial and funeral that was offered to Jacob was for one who was important. But Jacob had told his son, I want to be buried in Canaan. Now, what kind of funeral, what kind of burial would he be given in Canaan? The Bible tells us that it was just a field that was purchased, that was bought, a cave in the field of Machpelah. Now, in comparison to the burial that Jacob would have received in Egypt, this would be so small and insignificant. He was given a grand funeral where probably Pharaoh, recognizing how important Jacob was to Joseph, would have also asked the children of Egypt to participate in this mourning. But Jacob and Joseph, in this case, say, I must bring my father back to Canaan for him to be buried there. He did not care for the external extravagance, the external things in the funeral procession. If you have a loved one who has died, what kind of funeral would you want to give to your loved one? You know, some people do want to give very grand funerals to their loved ones because they see that as the, you know, the final sending off. And maybe that is also the way they can display the importance of that person. I think just a few months back, there was the burial, finally, of one tycoon of Macau, right? And he died a year ago, but they took 1 year to prepare for his burial, okay, because of certain auspicious date that they had to select. So they got someone to choose an auspicious date for him. And then his coffin, it was made of a type of wood that was so rare that it cost $1 million or something like that. It's a ridiculous amount. And I mean, you are thinking, if you think about it, this person is just putting $1 million in the ground. Okay? You take suitcases of cash, you put it in the ground, that's actually what he's doing. Of course, they won't think of it that way, but you buy a $1 million coffin to bury a person, you put him in the ground, this is a rare wood. Right, it's not even a furniture that you're going to sit on, you're not going to eat your food, right, for lunch on this table. It's something that you're just putting in the ground. But why do they want to do that? In the time of the Egyptians, it was the same. Right, when we went to the museum in Egypt, we saw all the treasures that were in the pyramids. Okay, so before some of the raiders of these tombs, of these pyramids, were able to steal, you know, all the different treasures. There were those people who were able to bring them out, some of these things out, and then put them in the pyramids. And there were those who have actually been looted, right? The pyramids have been looted. And if you go to the museum in Egypt, you really see all the different types of gold, okay? All the different precious things that are found in the pyramids. And sometimes you wonder, I mean, of course, we wonder a few things. I wonder a few things. First, I wonder, how did they put the things in? Okay, because they have huge, like, golden replica of chariots, for example, that they put it in. And then there's one where they would have the sarcophagus. The sarcophagus is another name for the coffin, okay, where they would put the mummy of the pharaoh, in this golden coffin, and then they put the coffin in another golden coffin, and then they put the coffin in another golden coffin, then they put it in the pyramids. And there's one where they had huge boxes, okay, where they put the organs of the pharaoh, which are preserved in these boxes. So again, the same thing. They would like to put it in one golden box. Then they take this golden box, put it in another golden box, and then take a golden box and put it in another golden box. And there's one where they had 8 layers of golden boxes. And they put it in the pyramids. I mean, I always wondered, how did they put it in the pyramids? And I also did wonder, how did they bring it out of the pyramids? Okay, but they did that. Right? But it shows you, why do they want to give them such an extravagant death? I mean, for these people, it was an ascending off, right, into their form of afterlife. And they send all their wealth also together with them. And at the same time, it's also to display their wealth, their influence, their importance. And you realize such practices continues on even till today. That there are people who have very grand funerals. And if your loved one passes away, what kind of funeral do you want to give him? Why do people see so much value in this kind of external things when it comes to the death of a person? It's because they have no hope. beyond this physical world. They have no hope beyond this physical realm. But for Joseph and for Jacob, instead of choosing a grand burial, a grand funeral, I wonder whether if Jacob was buried in Egypt, we will never know whether he would also be given his own pyramid. But instead of choosing that grand burial, Joseph could have said, I want this grand burial for my father. Instead of choosing that, he brought Jacob back to Canaan and gave him a plain and ordinary burial to be buried with his fathers, to be buried, more importantly, in the land of Canaan. And that spoke of the hope that Joseph had. And it spoke of the faith that Joseph had and what he saw. He saw even beyond this physical world. He saw into eternity. He saw God's promises. He saw God's faithfulness. And hence, instead of choosing the external things that Egypt could offer, the wealth that Egypt could offer, he says, let me now bring my father, and I will dig for him a grave, and I have digged for him a grave in the land of Canaan, and there I will bury him. And Pharaoh said, go up and bury thy father, according as he had made thee swear. And that's where Joseph went up to bury his father. Instead of choosing the burial in Egypt, a grand, rich burial, he was buried in the land of Canaan. Now this simple act speaks of the great hope in death. When you are dying, or if your loved ones who are children of God are about to die, do you have the same hope in death? Now why is it that Jacob and Joseph, you know, had this hope even in death? Because they knew that God is true to His word, that God is true to His promises. And they look forward even to the Messiah. I mean, we have already seen in the blessing which Jacob pronounced on his sons, more specifically on Judah, that there was a blessing even of the Messiah. Now that concerns the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe more specifically, the second coming, because it speaks of how Christ will rule. The scepter that will not depart out of the house of Judah. But nevertheless, it was a looking forward unto the Lord Jesus Christ. For Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ had not come yet. But they already know that they can have victory over death. They already have this hope. The Old Testament saints had this hope by looking forward. So a man like Job could also say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And yea, though after my skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. For us today, we too have the same hope because we look back to what the Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished. He came down 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross for our sins. He shed His precious blood. But He also rose again from the dead, defeating sin, conquering the grave, conquering death. And the Bible tells us He's the first fruits of those that will rise. That our resurrection and our hope is now based on this same hope in what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. My friends, when you think of death, do you have this hopeful death? But one thing that we must remember, that to have this hope in death, it is not a hope that is acquired. It's not a confidence that is gained only at this point. It was because in how Joseph lived, it goes back to how Jacob lived. Yes, in his early days, it was a life of rebellion. It was a life of deception. But later, it was a life of faith. We see that in the example of his blessings of his sons. And it's this life, and the life that Joseph had as well, that now they can have this hope because they have been living out their faith. Their faith was very real to them. They knew who their God is. Dear friends, what is your hope in death? Sadly, there are some Christians and sadly there are people who still place their hope in the things that they will leave behind for the next generation. Right, that is their hope in death, their assurance, their security in death. You know, what you can leave behind for the next generation, and then the generation to come. That is their hope and their assurance. You know, they want to, for them, what would be their comfort in death is, you know, that their sons, their daughters are well provided for, are well taken care of. That when I go, when I die, you know, that my children next time would still be okay. You know, that is the hope that many would think of when they think about their death. But that's not the case for Jacob, even in his death. And from the perspective of Joseph, you know, when they think of when he saw the hope, he did not see the inheritance, the hope in terms of the inheritance that the father would leave behind for him. In fact, you know, what inheritance could the father leave behind for him? He was, at that point, richer than the father. But he was not thinking in these things. He was looking for the promise. The hope was in the promise. And now what we see from verse 11 to 14 is a wonderful testimony even in death. So yes, there might be a grieving, but there was a hope. There was a hope even in death. And because of the hopefulness, now there is a testimony. And that testimony, you may say, was seen by two groups of people. Okay? Two groups of people that the Bible mentioned over here. First, in verse 11, the inhabitants of the land of the Canaanites saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, and they said, this is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. Wherefore the name of it was called Abel Mitzrayim, which is beyond Jordan. So the land of Atad, now this is beyond Jordan, that means it's already in the land of Canaan. Right, so Joseph brought Jacob back to the land of Canaan. And the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor. Right, they saw the mourning of the Egyptians. Now here this became a testimony to them. That Jacob, that Joseph, returned back to Canaan. And, you know, if I were one of the Canaanites, I would ask, why was Jacob not buried in Egypt? Why was he brought back to Canaan to be buried in Canaan? Yes, the mourning may have been so great, a lamentation that the people of Canaan saw it. But still, why was he brought back to Canaan? It became a testimony to them. And then the second thing also was, you notice from verse 12 to verse 14, the Bible says that his sons did unto him according as he commanded them. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan. The sons, not only Joseph, but the rest of the sons, also brought Jacob back to the land of Canaan. And you may say that in his death, Jacob became a testimony to his sons. That even in his death, to be buried in the land of Canaan was a testimony of faith. Yes, when we study the life of Jacob, we do see that he has failed in many ways. We do see that he was lacking in many ways. And as a father, perhaps, he, in many points, surrendered that authority that was entrusted to him as the head of the home. And instead allowed his sons to rule over his head, make decisions, ungodly decisions, even without his approval. And this was what we have seen with regard to Jacob, and that failure in many ways as a father. But now in his death, it was not too late. And even his death became a testimony to his sons, where the sons now brought him back to Canaan. And this is a great expression of faith, that now even the sons recognized and saw the faith of the father. And by the very act that when they bring him back, they too were experiencing the reality of the faith of the Father. And this is what the sons would have experienced and would have recognized and seen in Jacob. You know, I know some Christians, especially fathers, or maybe even mothers, when they reflect back upon their lives and they look at their younger years, especially how they bring up their children, they may feel that they have failed. Then they see how their children have turned out. You know, sometimes they feel that sense of guilt. Could they have done this? Could they have made that decision? Could they have chosen a different path? Would things have been different if they had been a better father or better mother? What we can learn from this is that it's never too late to be a godly testimony to your children. But we thank God that God is always merciful and God is faithful. That even in our lacking, the ways that we may have failed or the ways where we may have lacked, God is merciful. And if we still manifest that testimony, even in the later years of our lives, it is never too late. I think one of the lies that the devil tells us, you know, sometimes when we have failed in certain ways, is that the devil tells us that our failure is final, is fatal. No, there's no more hope for you. Another lie that the devil tells us is that your failure, you have failed. Now it's too late to repent. It's too late to do anything good. It's too late to be used of the Lord anymore. It is never too late. For Christians, for parents, if you feel that you could have done better, or you should have done this or should not have done that, you may look back and you say that these are the regrets that you have. Instead of regretting, ask the Lord to be merciful unto you and ask the Lord to use you now. And the Lord can still use you today. The Lord can use you even in your death, in your parting words, in your parting act. What is it that you want to manifest even by your death? It was a hopeful death. Because it was a death of a testimony, it was a death of an example, it was a death of life and promise that Jacob's children could look at. This was a death of testimony. Sure, a big part of Jacob's life may have been a very bad testimony, but now this is a testimony of faith. And this is why I believe, you know, what you have looked at earlier in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, that the Bible speaks of. Okay? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, where the Bible says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises." Now, a similar phrase is repeated later on in verse 39. "These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promises." Now, the phrase here, "to receive not the promise," does not mean that the promise was not given to them. Okay, but the idea of how they have not received the promise means that they have not yet received the fulfillment of the promises. They have not experienced the fulfillment of the promises yet. God promised them the land. God promised them Israel will be a great nation, a nation of multitudes, a nation of a land flowing with milk and honey. God promised them that they would defeat their enemies. They have not experienced these things yet. They have not received the fulfillment of the promise yet. But they died in faith. Even though they have not held it, they have not touched it, they said, "By faith, we have received the promise." And the promise was given. By faith, the promise was as good as being fulfilled unto them. And when they died in faith. And when they obtained a good report through faith, even though they have not received this promise, they manifested a testimony. They obtained a good report through faith. Now, one thing that we learn about Jacob, and that you see really even in the book of Hebrews, you know, if you look through down the list of Hebrews chapter 11, one thing that you will see is that these men are not perfect men. These women, they are ordinary men and women. They are men and women of like passions, like you and me. They are people of struggles, like you and me. There are people who may have made mistakes, like you and me. There are people who are ordinary people. But yet, they live this life of faith, they express the testimony of faith, and even in death, it was a death that is by faith. Hence, it was a hopeful death. And dear friends, this is the same testimony and same life and even same death that we can manifest. Because for the Christian, our death does not mark the end of our existence. No, for us as Christians, yes, death brings about a parting, but it's a temporary parting. There will be a reuniting again. There will be a restoring of fellowship again with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. No, for death, before we were saved, we know that of death as the result of the sin, of sin and result of the fall, is the curse of sin. But death has lost its sting. Death has lost its victory. Now death no longer has power over us, because death merely but ushers us into the very presence of God. So when our loved ones die, if they are a child of God, they are a believer, we know that they are in the very presence of God. Sin, death, and hell has been conquered and defeated. And when Christians experience death, and face death, and confront death, we have this great hope and assurance. And what a wonderful testimony it is. So during some funerals, usually there are, or vigil services, usually there will be a eulogy that is given. A eulogy is really also an opportunity for a testimony. I'm not saying that you cannot describe the other aspects of the memories that you have, you know, with the person who has departed. You can talk definitely about certain personal memories that you have. But what is most meaningful would be the testimony that is also left behind. So the eulogy is really also in many ways, you know, a testimony. When the people gather around, what is the testimony of this person's life and how this person died, that would be presented and that would be shared and that would be made known to others. I do not know how the Canaanites responded to this or what they thought of this. I do not know also how the sons would continue to respond to this. But one thing that we do know is that Jacob left behind a testimony, even in his death. And such is this testimony that even for us today, as we are studying and learning this passage, we see of his faith, even in his death. And so wonderful, you know, when we think back of the life of Jacob, from the very beginning, how the Lord worked in his life. How the Lord was so close to him that even though Jacob initially did not recognize God and tried to run away from God, God did not let him go. God continued to work in his life. And how the Lord shaped and molded Jacob, and now in his death, it was a death that is filled with hope, and death that is an expression of faith. Disregarding what Egypt could offer, he chose to be buried in Canaan. Do you still hold on to Egypt? Are you still yearning for what this world can offer? Certain luxuries or certain statements of status or prestige? Or would you yearn more for eternal and heavenly things, things that are of real and eternal value? A hopeful death. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, as we come to the close of our study of Jacob's life, we indeed see how thou hast worked in such a marvelous way, how thou hast chosen Jacob, even though he's not the firstborn, and even though there's nothing worthy in him, for he was a usurper, Yet out of thy own good pleasure thou hast chosen him, and made of him a great nation. O Lord, when we think of the life of Jacob, we cannot help but also to think of ourselves. For we too were once lost and blind in our sin, so foolish, where we have tried to run away from thee. And yet, time after time, thou hast called us and drawn us back to thyself. And so, Father, even when we think of this, we know that the life of Jacob, it expresses thy grace, thy mercy, thy faithfulness. And we too have experienced this today. O Lord, we pray for some, if they are still in that state where they have tried to run away from thee, tried to pursue after the world, tried to use man's wisdom, like Jacob, to maneuver through life, we pray that thou will show them so quickly how foolish their ways are. May thou so quickly turn their hearts to look unto thee. We thank thee also how we see in the life of Jacob, that even though he made so many mistakes, we thank thee that thou art compassionate, thou art gracious, plenteous in mercy. Thou hast not destroyed Jacob completely, but thou art so gracious to him. And so it is also for us, for we know that so many times we have failed thee, so many times we have sinned against thee, we have forgotten thee, we have taken thy grace for granted, and yet, time after time, thou called us to thyself, and when we cry unto thee, thou hast always forgiven us. So, Father, we pray that now in knowing the God whom we serve, the God who loves us so, and you cause us to never depart again from thee. Help us and teach us to manifest the kind of faith that Jacob manifested, to see even beyond this physical realm and physical world, and to look beyond these external things and to look into eternity. O Father, sometimes our sight is really so short-sighted that we are unable to see into heavenly things. But give us the eyes of faith that we will look at eternal things and heavenly things, that we will find and place our hope in Christ and Christ alone. We want to thank thee for seeing us through the study of the life of Jacob. We thank thee that this afternoon we can gather again for worship. We thank thee for thy faithfulness and thy goodness unto us. May thou help us to continue pondering upon the truths of thy word. Hear this our prayer, for we ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.